As we heard earlier in the show, Congressman Anthony Weiner learned the hard way, be careful what you tweet, after lewd photos he sent to people via Twitter ended up plastered all over the web, TV, and newspapers. But even positive things you tweet, say about your favorite restaurant or cereal, might end up in a multimedia campaign. Several companies are using what people say on social media websites to promote their products in television spots and print ads. It's part of an increasing flow of digital content to traditional media, tweets becoming commercials, books, even TV series. Here to talk about the trend is Here and Now media analyst and Boston University mass communication professor John Carroll. Hi, John.
Hi, Monica.
John, first of all, it sounds like companies are using what we write to build campaigns. Can they do that? I mean, who owns what we tweet or what we put on Facebook?
Some of that's still up in the air. Facebook owns a lot of what you put there. I doubt that very many people who are listening right now have read the terms of service. I mean, they could own your firstborn child for all you know. People just go on there and they do what they do. Facebook has rights to what you post there. Twitter is, it's sort of up in the air, but media organizations who are repurposing these this content, they are going and asking permission for the most part. But I'm not sure that they have to.
So how are companies turning tweets into traditional advertising campaigns?
What they're doing is using it as sort of testimonials. And it's a smart idea because what advertising lacks is authenticity. And what social media give you are immediacy and authenticity. So what they're doing is creating this sort of fake authenticity in their advertising. Nobody's better at co-opting real life than marketers.
So tell me some examples of this.
Some examples are Chobani yogurt is out there. They're using reviews, people talking about the yogurt. Trident gum, oddly enough, is using tweets in an ad campaign. Kraft macaroni and cheese was basically seeking out people who tweeted about mac and cheese, turning their tweets into advertising, and they were doing it overnight. So it was a sort of real-time testimonials for mac and cheese.
Is that making it cool again?
I think it helps. I think what it does is it sort of borrows this cachet from the web, and marketers co-opt that.
And do we know if it's working?
I don't know if it's working. I mean, some of it is sort of a smokescreen. You look at Trident Layers, and they've got all these tweets that are saying, you know, Trident Layers is the best gum ever. You look at their Twitter feed, and they only have 400 and something followers. So basically what they're doing is they're using their ad to make it seem like there's this big groundswell of approval and endorsement for their product, when really it's a very small chunk of digital media, but they can make it seem much larger.
The publishing industry is also leveraging social media. We just saw tweets from Tahrir published recently as a book, and it's a collection of Twitter messages from participants in Egypt's uprising at the beginning of the year. What else is out there?
Well, there are a lot of cat books out there, so people upload their
their
cat photos. Those darn cats. They upload their cat photos all the time, so there's a ton of cat books. But there's also a lot of these compilation websites that there's one called Not Always Right, which is these consumer horror stories. People write in and talk about the terrible retail experiences that they've had. These are ripe for compilation.
I saw one in the bookstore the other day, Cake Rex.
Right. Cake Rex.
I couldn't believe somebody would make a book out of this, but if they just pulled it off the internet, it makes it pretty easy.
It's all found content. I mean, it makes absolute sense to use all this consumer-generated material and package it together in different forms. So the websites are popular. Books can reach a whole different audience from the websites. So what you have is this sort of spreading out of content across different platforms. And what it indicates really in a lot of ways is this convergence of different media platforms coming together. So you've got content that's appearing on any number of different platforms. And there are a lot of people who are platform agnostic. They say, I don't care where the content appears, as long as it appears. And you provide it on as many levels and in as many ways as you can.
And there's also TV shows coming out of web content, like Lisa Kudrow from Friends fame. She has a new online show called Web Therapy. It's coming to Showtime. And in this scene, Lisa Kudrow is a therapist who has decided to forgive another woman for going after her husband.
Okay, I could forgive you for that. It was just a bad choice on your
end. It was absolutely. Thank you. That's incredibly generous of you. And, I mean, you should know my life has been a complete wreck since then.
That's good. So I did it.
What other web content has migrated to television?
Well, first of all, I just want to give my endorsement to Web Therapy. It's a really funny show, and it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to Showtime. It's on the web. The webisodes are 6, 7, 8 minutes, maybe. It'll be interesting to see how that translates into a 30-minute show. But this is an example of the web as a sort of huge audition for people to go out and create content that can be viewed by other media outlets and repurposed for different media. So Angry Birds is coming to TV. That's the addictive video game. I actually had never played it until this week, but in my intensive research for this segment, I downloaded it to my phone. Right. And it's
addictive.
It's a lot of fun, and it'll be bigger fun on TV. That's partly a technology story, too. That's a sort of a twofer, because basically what that is a streaming device called Roku, which you attach to your TV and essentially lets you stream the internet on your television.
So what's the big deal about Angry Birds going to TV? I mean, didn't video games start on TV in the first place?
They did, but this is sort of a different technology. This is more of a way to merge television and the internet. So you've always had Nintendo and PlayStation, those kinds of devices, but this is one where it brings the entire internet to you, a sort of a convergence that people have been looking for and expecting for a long time. It hasn't really gotten much traction, but it looks like something like Angry Birds could give it a little boost.
To think that it will all happen because of Angry Birds.
Yeah, well, those pigs should be getting some kind of a...
They're sweating now.
they also should be getting some kind of kickback.
But what's going on here, though? Because this migration from tweeting and Facebook onto traditional media seems sort of backwards. All of this is moving back to traditional media again. It seems like we're in some sort of a weird media cycle.
The presumption is that the traditional media are the normal media, and the digital media is some sort of extension of traditional media. So what you saw in the beginning was a lot of traditional media content being plunked down on the internet. And you saw this with newspapers, you saw this with television shows. What we're seeing now is the ability of digital media to hold their own and basically to become a new source of original content. And whereas before it was a depository for reproducing the content created by traditional media, now it's becoming a real source of original content. And I think that this sort of people-powered media that a lot of the blogs have latched onto is coming to the entertainment business as well. So it's not just politics, but it's across the board.
Here and Now media analyst John Carroll is a mass communication professor at Boston University. You can access his blog, Campaign Outsider, on our website, hereandnow.org. Thanks, John.
Thank you.